welcome if you're here for the baptism. Welcome if it's your first time with us, or maybe you haven't been here for a while. It is really great that you can come, and I hope you can stay back afterwards, just to chat, possibly stay for lunch. If I can also add my encouragement onto to Billy's, to make sure that you sign up for the Pupil Free Day event. Tomorrow's the last day to register. And so if you know anyone who actually just needs that gentle nudge, give them a gentle nudge between now and tomorrow. And also that marriage workshop is in 3 weeks' time. It'll be a great thing to go along to. If you're able to help out with childminding, let me know. But there will be childminding on the day itself. Why don't we pray as we take a look at God's Word together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for this chance that you've given us this morning to come together as your people. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at Galatians chapter 1, help us to see that this is not just written to the churches in Galatia, but it's also written to us. And so, Father, we pray that we are challenged and warned and encouraged by your word this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This was a few years ago. Dawn and I were in China. We went there for our, not for our honeymoon, for holidays. This is the time before we had children and you could actually take holidays. So we were over in China and I remember going to the shop and we bought a souvenir from the shopkeeper. And as I gave the money and she gave the change back, I picked up the ₩1 note that she gave me and it didn't quite look right. For one, the paper was a bit too fat. It felt like a couple of pieces of printer paper put together. The words didn't quite look right. They were large. They were clunky. And as I looked at it, I realized it was a fake. And when I challenged the shopkeeper, she had a guilty look on her face. She knew that it was fake. She was trying to pass on to me fake money. It was a counterfeit. As I look back at that event, I kick myself because I think I actually should have kept that money because it was actually kind of funny, especially how bad that fake money was, how very not genuine it was. But at the time when I was caught off guard, it was for the principle of it that I stood up for myself for that ₩1 note. Now, in a situation like that, it can be quite amusing. It can be kind of funny, especially when ₩1 is just 20 cents in our money. It's harmless. But it does depend on the situation. When you swap something which is real, something which is genuine for a counterfeit, for a fake, sometimes it's not amusing. Sometimes it's not funny. It can be dangerous. It can be deadly. Just think back to 2008, the milk in China. I don't know if you remember that, where melamine was added to the milk there. Melamine was added to the baby formula. It was added so that it looked like the milk was whiter. It looked like it had more protein content than it really had. Now, humans, and especially babies, are not supposed to drink melamine. 6 babies died as a result of that. 54,000 babies were hospitalized. Fake milk, fake baby powder is dangerous. It's deadly. Swap the milk for the gospel. A fake gospel is dangerous. It's deadly. Because the gospel means good news, and it's the good news about how we can have a relationship with God. It's how we can have, how we can be right with God, how we can actually be rescued by God. And if you change that, if you swap that for a fake, it is disastrous. If you mess with the gospel, if you change the gospel, if you buy a fake, we're starting a new series going through Galatians. We're starting it today. We're going to press pause on the book of Acts, which we went through last term. And for this term coming up for 7 weeks, we're going to look at Galatians. And Galatians is all about not being conned by a fake relationship with God, a fake gospel. Don't mess with the gospel. Don't change it. Don't buy a fake gospel. That's what Galatians is all about. And so as we start this letter, Paul starts off by describing his credentials. It's a little bit unusual, but it's actually important for the book of Galatians. I'm going to let you control them. It's a little bit unusual, but he describes his credentials because it's important for the argument of Galatians, where he comes from, who sent him. Take a look at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the church in Galatia. Galatia is in modern day Turkey. And Paul calls himself right from the start. He says, I am an apostle. It means someone who's sent. That's what apostle means. It means sent one. Paul makes it clear, though, exactly who sent him. And so he says, he's not sent from men. He's not an apostle by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. In other words, he has been sent by God. And that's important for his message. Because God hasn't just sent him. God has given him a message to be sent with. Paul has a message, a gospel, an announcement that God has sent him to make. And he spells out this message. He spells out this gospel in verse 3. Here is the gospel in a nutshell. It's all about Jesus giving himself up to rescue us. Let me read verse 3. Here is Paul's gospel. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here is the gospel, that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us. And when it talks about the present evil age there, it's talking about the here and now. It's talking about this life, this world, which is marked by sin and death and is headed for the judgment of God. And you and I, we're part of this because all of us sin. We're all going to die. And by ourselves, we're all headed for the judgment of God. But here's why the gospel is good news. This is great news. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, he rescues us from sin and death and judgment. That's the gospel. Jesus saves us. And straight away, Paul gives a serious warning. He says, don't mess with it. Don't try and change it. Don't buy a fake gospel. Take a look at verse 6. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. He says it again, as we have already said. Now I say it again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. These are some of the harshest words that we'll actually read in the New Testament. Paul is absolutely shocked. He's horrified that the Galatians are deserting God. They're turning to a different gospel, which is no gospel. You see, Paul was the one who preached to them the gospel in the first place. And we can read about that in Acts chapter 13 and 14. And while he's gone away and he's gone to different cities to preach the gospel there, some other people have come in. And they're talking about a different message. And the Galatians are falling for it. We'll see more about it in the weeks to come. But effectively, they're adding on to Jesus. They're saying, yes, you need Jesus. Of course you need Jesus. But you also need to follow the Old Testament law. If you really want to be the people of God, if you want to be accepted by God, you need Jesus, but you need to be circumcised. You need to be Jewish. It was Jesus plus. That was their gospel. It was Jesus plus. In their case, it was Jesus plus the Old Testament law. You need to trust in Jesus, but you also need to keep the Old Testament if you want to be saved. And Paul says, if anyone changes the gospel, if you add to it, if you have your own version of the gospel, it's serious. It's serious. Even if we or an angel from heaven preaches the gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Go to hell, he says. It is a serious thing to change the gospel. Now imagine for a moment that you're going to somebody's place for dinner. Imagine you're going to your parents' place, or you're going to your parents-in-law's place, or your future parents-in-law's place. And it's a special occasion. It's their 50th wedding anniversary. And so because it's so special, they've gotten everything right. They've got the decorations out. The place is immaculate. The food, they've been planning this for weeks. They've been slaving in the kitchen ever since yesterday. And the food comes out and it's a centerpiece. It's lobster or crab or abalone, whatever it is that you like. And they're proud of this dish. It is perfect. Now imagine they've gone to all that effort, and imagine tasting it and then saying, it's not that good actually. It needs a bit of flavor. And so you go into the kitchen and you open their cupboards and put some salt and pepper on it. Actually, you put it in the microwave just to give it an extra 10 seconds. Maybe you've done that. But imagine what your parents would be thinking, or your parents-in-law. How offensive is that? How offensive is it when they've done all the work and they've put all the effort in, and you go in and change things around just because you don't like it, because it could be better? Now, let's move away from a moment, and actually, not so much the parents' food, but go into the gospel. The gospel that God has put together, the gospel that God has put into effect, and you go in there and you change it, you add to it, you take things away. How offensive is that to God? It's not good enough, God. Jesus giving up his life, it's not enough. And so you go in to change it, to fix it up. To say to God, actually, God, that's not the gospel. That's not the only gospel. There's other ways to be saved. You can go through Muhammad. You can go through Buddhism. You can go through good works. That's the gospel that I like. Or the gospel's all about God wanting me to be rich, wanting to have lots of money here and now. That's the gospel. However it is that we change the gospel, how offensive is that? But it's not just offensive. If you change the gospel, you lose the gospel. Did you see what Paul says? He says, how quickly you are deserting God. Because the gospel rescues people from sin and death and judgment. And if you change the gospel, you lose the rescue. You lose the rescue. You're actually deserting God. You're walking away from God. You're turning your backs on a relationship with God. See, if we understand this, the gospel matters, doesn't it? The true gospel matters. So what does it mean for us? It means that we don't swap the gospel. We don't swap it for a fake. We don't add to it. We don't water it down. And it could be here this morning that you've actually been holding on to a different gospel. Maybe you've been going to church for a long time and you've been holding on to a different gospel for ages. You've been coming to church and you've been hearing about Jesus. But when it comes down to it, what it is that you really believe is, you've got to be good enough. As long as your good things outweigh your bad things, by the end of your life, God is going to be happy with you. You could have been coming to church for years. You believe in Jesus, but God is going to judge you based on how good I am. Yeah, if I do enough, then God is going to be happy with me. If I'm religious enough, God is going to be happy with me. Friends, that is a different gospel. That is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone. Or maybe you believe in other religions, other gods. Maybe you believe in no God. You call yourself an atheist. Whatever it is that you've been holding on to for a long time, when you hold on to something for a long time, it's hard to change. It's hard to give up. But in this case, you've got to, because there's one gospel, and that's Jesus Christ giving himself up for our sins to rescue us. We don't add anything. We don't take anything away. We hold on to Jesus. And it also means that if someone stands up and says, you've got to believe in Jesus, but you need to be baptized to be saved. Well, that's Jesus plus. It's adding on to the gospel. We don't believe that. If somebody stands up and says, you've got to believe in Jesus, but you also need to be able to speak in tongues if you want to be sure that you're saved. You've got to give a certain percentage of your money if you want to be saved. or you've got to believe in Jesus, but actually all the religions are the same. It doesn't matter how you live, whether you're adding to the gospel or you're taking away, you reject that. If anyone tells you a message that doesn't match with the word of God, you don't believe it. You reject it. You stand up and you say, it's wrong. If anyone you know is a Christian, they call themselves a Christian and yet they believe a different gospel, you've got to talk to them. Because Paul is saying, this is serious. This matters. It doesn't matter how spectacular it looks. It doesn't matter how sincere the person is. It doesn't matter how many people are following them. It doesn't matter if it's a minister or a priest or a bishop or a professor or an angel, even me. If it's a different message to what's in the Bible, what does Paul say? Let him be eternally condemned. Why is Paul so strong? Why is he so harsh in his language here? It's quite intolerant, isn't it? It's actually because this is not him taking personal offense. This is not actually his gospel. This is God's gospel. This gospel message comes from God himself. And that's actually the point of the rest of the chapter, going into chapter 2, the passage that was read out for us. The point of this is that this gospel is not something that man made up. It comes from God. It's not something which Paul was taught by someone else. He didn't consult somebody else. The apostles didn't teach him this. It was given to him directly by God. And the rest of the chapter, going into chapter 2, can be summed up in chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Let me read this out. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul wants everyone to know his gospel is God's gospel. He got it from Jesus. He didn't get it from the other Christians. Actually, when he first met the other Christians, what did he try to do? He tried to kill them. Verse 13, he tried to destroy the church. He didn't get it from the Christians. He didn't get it from his Jewish teachers. He was passionately Jewish. But when he was on the road to Damascus that we saw in Acts chapter 9 a few weeks ago, Jesus showed himself and told him to trust in him and to preach the gospel. He got it from Jesus. And that's what he did. He went to preach the gospel. He went straight into Arabia. He didn't consult with anyone. He didn't compare notes with the apostles. It wasn't his gospel. It wasn't man's gospel. This is God's gospel. After 3 years, he stayed for 15 days with Peter. And after another 14 years, after 17 years of preaching the same message, he finally goes to Jerusalem, probably for the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And there he meets up with Peter, James, and John, the leaders of the Jerusalem church. And this is actually important for his message because, remember, there are false teachers in Galatia. There's false teachers in the church that he's writing to. And they're saying, this poor fellow, yeah, it is about Jesus, but it's also the Old Testament. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't have the full picture. The people in Jerusalem, in the headquarters, they've got the full gospel. And Paul answers back about those people in Jerusalem. He talks about the apostles in chapter 2, verse 6. He says, those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. Verse 9. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. You see what Paul's saying? James, Peter, John, Paul, Barnabas all have exactly the same message, just different people to say it to. There's one gospel, it's the same. And it's God's gospel. Do you see why we can't change it? Because if God came up with this gospel, who are we to change it? I still remember when I was back in primary school, our family went to China for 6 months and we lived there. And so because we're in China for 6 months, we actually went to the local school, which was quite interesting because I speak really bad Chinese. And so the only subject I could do was maths, because you don't need to be able to speak Chinese, but the rest of it I just actually just sat around playing with my phone. And but my older brother, who's over in the Croatia room, he had English as part of his lessons. And I think it was in the early few weeks of sitting in this class, during the English lesson, the teacher got him to write something on the board. And so he wrote something up and he got it right. And the teacher decided to correct him. And so she corrected what he wrote and she got it wrong. Now, in a sense, my brother is a native speaker. He grew up in Australia. He speaks English. He's smart. You want to think twice before changing what he writes on the board. When it comes to God and his gospel and what he writes, you want to think twice before changing that. When God makes this message, when he sends his son who gave himself for our sins to rescue us, you don't go changing that message. You submit to that message. You listen to that message. We don't change the message. It changes us. But there's another side to this truth in Galatians, that the gospel comes from God. There's another thing. Don't change the gospel. Hold on to that. Absolutely. But there's an encouragement here as well. There's the warning, but there's an encouragement. You see, the gospel is precious if we understand it comes from God. There's a story recently about a man who bought this costume jewelry. He bought it at a garage sale for $10. And so he wore this costume jewelry every day. Yeah, he'd go shopping, he'd wear it, and it was something that he was proud of. He'd had it with him for 30 years. He bought it for £10. This is a guy in London. Just this year, he sold it. And it turns out that that costume jewelry is a 26-carat diamond. And it was real. And it sold for $1.1 million. Not bad for a £10 investment. When something is real, when that diamond is real, it is precious. When this gospel is real, when this gospel of this relationship that we have with God is real, that is precious. It is priceless. You see, if we understand that this gospel comes from God, that it's real, it gives us confidence and it gives us comfort. We can have confidence in something when we know where it comes from, can't we? And that's the whole idea about when you have those email hoaxes and scams, when you have the viruses and malware, that when you get an email from somebody where you don't know where it comes from, you don't trust it. But if you know where something comes from, you can have confidence. When you know that a car comes from Japan, you can have confidence in that car. We can have confidence in the taste of the food because it comes from the kitchen of Gordon Ramsay. You can have confidence in a story that you hear because you know where it comes from, that it comes from a friend that you can trust. You can have confidence in the gospel that Jesus gave himself for us to rescue us because it comes from God. And so if you want to be rescued from sin and death and judgment, hold on to this gospel. Trust in this Jesus. Today, look into it. Have confidence even in the face of death, because this is the gospel of God and Jesus came to rescue us from death. Even in the face of death, as you feel yourself getting older, as you feel the body not being able to do what it could, when you realize how insecure the world is, have confidence because Jesus brings us even through death. Have confidence when you tell people the gospel. Your friends and your family, your neighbor, your workmates, when you invite them to the marriage workshop in 3 weeks, or you invite them to church, or you tell them about who Jesus is. Because Jesus gave himself to rescue us. And because it's from God, it works. It works. We get to be part of God rescuing other people. And this is the most important thing that we can be part of. You know, all the things that you've been busy with this past week, your work, the arrangements, the holidays, whatever it is, this is the most crucial thing that we can be doing. Telling people about Jesus. don't change the gospel. Hold on to it. Will you do that? Will you share it with others? And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, will you take a look? Because this is good news. It is great news. And it's worth living for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for your word here in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. Father, we thank you that it's written by Paul to the Galatian church, but it's also written to us, that you have given us your gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving himself up to rescue us. And Father, we pray that you help us to see how precious that is, that it gives us confidence, it gives us comfort, and Lord, we pray that we might live for him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.